Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
The Book of Revelation. Today we begin chapter 9. We begin our reading at Revelation chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel blew in his shofar. The Greek word actually is the verb form of the word for trumpet. In the Greek it reads, the fifth angel trumpeted. But the word for trumpet, elsalpsa, is actually a Greek reference to the Hebrew, kata bashofar, to blow in the shofar. So the fifth angel blew in his shofar, the ram's horn, and I saw a star had fallen from out of heaven onto the earth, and the key of the pit of the abyss was given to him. The English texts read, the bottomless pit. This is a pit of the abyss. Or the depths, so deep you can't see the bottom. Pit of the abyss. And he opened the pit of the abyss, and smoke rose up from out of the pit as the smoke of a large furnace. And the sun was darkened, and the air from out of the smoke of the pit. And from the smoke, locusts came out into the earth, and authority was given to them as the authority, as having authority of the scorpions of the earth. And it was spoken to them or told to them in order that they should not injure the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. That's vegetation, nor any tree, except for the people or the men only who do not have the seal of God upon their foreheads. And it was given to them in order that they should not kill them, but in order that they should torment them 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion whenever it should strike a man. And in those days, men or people will seek death, and they will not find it. And they will desire to die, and death will flee from them. And the likenesses of the locusts are likened to a horse having been prepared for battle. And upon their heads there was as crowns like gold. And their faces were as faces of people or humans. And they had hair as the hair of women. And their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as the breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings were as the sound of chariots of mighty horses running into battle. And they have tails like scorpions, and stingers were in their tails. And their authority, they received authority to harm man for 5 months. And they had over them a king, the angel of the abyss. And the name to him in Hebrew is Abaddon. And in Greek, he has a name, Apolluon. But one woe passed. Behold, two woes are still coming after these things. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1 begins what are called the three woes. At the breaking of the seventh seal in chapter 8, there was a pause or silence in heaven for approximately 30 minutes as all of heaven stood still because they knew that the breaking of the seventh seal would bring disaster and judgment on this earth like it has never been seen before. We saw in verse 2 that that seven angels were provided seven shofar or ram's horns. And then verses 3 to 5, they were waiting because of the prayers of the saints were being answered. As the angel came and his censer was filled full of incense, and it was poured out on the coals, and the incense rose up as a symbol of prayer, that he dug his censer into the coals on the altar and poured them out onto the earth. And it is at that time, in verse 6, that the seven angels prepared to trumpet or to blow. In verse 7, the first angel sounded, and these coals that were poured out into the earth fell to the earth as hail and fire being mixed with blood. And a third of the trees, a third of the grass, was affected and burned down. In verses 8 and 9, we saw the second shofar or trumpet sound. And something like a great mountain fell into the sea. A third of the sea became blood. And a third of the creatures in the sea died. And a third of the ships in the sea were thoroughly destroyed. Obviously, these are called the one-third judgments. All of it's one-third. That's because when we get to the bowl judgments, those will be complete. So this is just a warm-up, preamble, an introduction to yet to God's judgment. In verses 10 and 11, the third angel sounded, and a great star. As I said before, the word for star, astair in Greek, can mean more than just a star itself. It can mean a meteor or a comet. This great mountain, probably a meteor, this great star fell into the rivers and the fountains of water. So we saw the judgment upon the sea. And now we're seeing judgment upon the drinking water. And the name of this star is Wormwood. Absinthos, which means bitter. And as men drank from out of the water, they died from the bitter toxin of the waters. In verse 12, the fourth angel sounded, and the stars and the sun and the moon were struck, a third of them, so that they were one-third dark and did not give out its complete life light. Then we saw in verse 13 of chapter 8 where another angel comes, and some text says it is an eagle. Whatever it is, it's a flying messenger that is flying in midair. And he says, woe, woe, woe to the ones who are dwelling upon the earth from out of the remaining sounds of the shofar or trumpet of the three angels that are about to sound. So in verse 13 of chapter 8, woe, woe, woe. In other words, this flying messenger is saying everything up to now is just child's play. The next three trumpet or shofar sounds, each one is attributed with the word woe, which means calamity or destruction. The angel is saying, hold on, folks. The first four judgments of the trumpet judgments are nothing compared to the next three that are coming up. The fifth and sixth and seventh shofar or trumpet judgment. So in chapter 9, verse 1, after the angel announces the three woes, we have the introduction to the luminary. This is the star. And the fifth angel blew in his shofar, ram's horn. And now we have the fifth trumpet judgment. And John says, and I saw a star had fallen from out of heaven onto the earth. Notice the literal translation of the verb. It's a perfect tense verb, which means he didn't see the star fall. When he saw the star, it had already fallen and was on the earth. So verses 1 and 2, we're going to study this luminary, this light, this star. First of all, we saw back in chapter 6, verse 13, under the sixth seal that was broken, that the stars of heaven fell to the earth. So stars falling. We have stars falling all over the place. But this star has already fallen. We know in the scriptures, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, that Jesus had seven stars in his right hand. And in Revelation 1, 20, it explains to us that those seven stars are seven angels. And so stars take on the representation of angels. Angels are like stars that have fallen. This particular star has fallen to the earth. A key will be given to him, making reference to the star. And also he has a name, both in Hebrew and in Greek. So this is a personage. And many believe that this is either Satan himself or it is one of his head men. But whoever you want to make be this, it is definitely a demonic force because he has a key to the pit of the abyss. And when he opens the lid to the abyss, these demonic-like forces, and next week we'll see the rest of the chapter, even today is an introduction, there'll be 200 million demons unleashed upon the earth. That's a lot. 200 million. Well, for us this week, there's only one star that has fallen. And this star has a name. And it has a personality and a person to it. And many believe that this is Satan that John saw had already fallen to the earth. We see Satan's fall recorded in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. That's Isaiah 14. 12 to 15. And Jesus in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said when the 70 returned from preaching and they were rejoicing over the demons being subject to them and the healing of the people, Jesus said, I saw Satan falling from out of heaven like lightning. In other words, they were defeating Satan. They were adding to the fall of Satan. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall. That's what I saw. You saw demons under your control and authority and people healed, but I saw Satan defeated. So the fall of Satan, even in that Isaiah 14 text, that was after Satan exercised his five I wills. I will be like God. I will be like the Most High. And God says, you will fall. You will be made to fall into the earth. And so this star has already fallen. Satan was said to be falling to the earth. We will find out in Revelation chapter 12 that even though Satan in his rebellion was kicked out of heaven and given the earth as his domain, he still has access to the throne of God. Because in Romans chapter 12, he is accusing the brethren day and night. It won't be till we get to Revelation chapter 12 that he is kicked out of completely any access to the throne of God. And Revelation chapter 12 says that when he's kicked out of before the throne of God, he knows then that he only has but a short time and he works furiously to bring about his final destructive elements here upon the earth, because as soon as he's no longer given presence to God. By the way, he's not omnipresent. Satan's actual presence, position, is before the throne of God, continually accusing God's people. They are his fallen angels and the demonic forces that are doing all of the work for Satan. He is not omnipresent. So they're bringing him information. Scouts are bringing him information. And he's making accusations like a lawyer before a judge. And then he's sending his angels that are following him. They then go about doing his work. Next, I want you to notice, not only has this star fallen from out of heaven into the earth, that something was given to him. This key that's given to him was not in his possession. It's not inherent. It's not his unless somebody gives him the key. And that's the way it is with Satan. Whatever he has, it has to be given to him by God. And there was given to him the key of the pit of the abyss. What it's called. Somewhere here on earth, and many scholars believe it's probably in the area of Babylon, the city of Babylon in Iraq today, that there is a long shaft called the abyss, which means you can't see the bottom. That's why it's translated bottomless pit. And somewhere where this tunnel exists, and it has existed for quite some time, as we'll see in a moment, these are where demons are actually chained and reserved for judgment. That some fallen angels, a third of them, we'll see in Revelation chapter 12, were allowed to go with Satan and be under his lordship. But then there are some demons who actually from the beginning of the revolt against God were actually put into this chamber. And one day they are going to be let out. And they're there reserved for judgment, actually the days in which we're learning of here. A key of the pit of the abyss is given to this star, whom we know now has personality to him. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it tells us that Jesus Christ has the keys of Hades and of death. He's got the keys to everything. And Satan has to get the key, or if this is his henchman, he has to get the key from Christ, and now is the time to do it. Now is the time for this judgment. Seven times in the book of Revelation, the pit of the abyss is mentioned. Seven times. The very important place we will see later on that Satan and his angels have been reserved for this place. But we also know in Luke chapter 8, verse 31. Luke chapter 8, verse 31 concerning the abyss. You remember in Gadara, the demons made request of Jesus, don't send us to the abyss, but send us into these pigs over here. And apparently Houdini had pigs in those days there over the countryside. And the demons went into the pigs, and the pigs ran into the sea, and they drowned. And they said, don't put us in the abyss. They already know what the abyss is, and they already know what it's for. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, speaking of false teachers being in the church, and seemingly it looks like they're getting away with their false teaching, Peter says that God did not spare the angels that revolted and rebelled, but rather put them in Tartar is the word. Tartarus, the word for hell, this chamber-like thing. And they are in chains, and they are being reserved for judgment in the day of judgment. In Jude, verses 6 and 7, Jude verses 6 and 7, Jude says, angels who did not keep their own domain at the beginning, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. There are demons who are in chains, and God has judged them, and they are in this chamber. And we will see as this progresses, they're going to be let loose for judgment, not just for theirs, but for the world itself. Just think, we can read about and we know about how terrible demonic forces can be. Well, God has the most, the strongest demons, the most destructive demons are in chains right now. They haven't been released yet. God is going to allow them to be released upon the people of the earth. And if you say, oh, what a terrible thing for God to do. Well, look at the last chapter of the book before you make a judgment, because the last verses in this chapter say that even after all of this, the people refuse to repent and they go back to serving demons that just tormented them, but they go back to serving them anyway. So this star, this angel, had fallen. A key to the pit was given to him. Verse 2 says, and he opened the pit of the abyss. And when he opened the pit, smoke rose up from out of the pit as the smoke of a large furnace. See the word as or like, depending what English translation you're following. 9 times, John is going to use the word hos, which means to be like or to be as. What John is doing is he's saying, this really wasn't a furnace, but that's the closest thing in earthly terms or human terms that I can come up with to describe to you what I'm looking at. Now, when he sees a star fall, he sees a star fall who becomes personality when he's on the earth. But when the smoke rises up, it rises up from out of the pit, actual smoke from out of the pit. He sees it as smoke as coming out of a large furnace. And the result of this, and the sun was darkened, and the air. Talk about a smog alert. This is the first class smog alert. From the smoke of the pit. So the smoke is so thick, in such great volume that everything is made dark. So we've seen this luminary. We see what he's doing. Now the locusts in verses 3 through 6. Now, from out of the smoke, so now you get this picture, is that after the pit has been opened, there's so much smoke that you can't see the opening anymore. But from out of the pit come locust-like creatures. We will see that they're actually demonic creatures that look this way. But from out of the smoke, because you can't see them coming out of the pit, but from out of the smoke come out onto the earth these locusts. And authority was given to them. Again, notice that whatever authority they have to do whatever they're going to do, the authority was given to them. It's not inherent. They can't just do whatever they want to do. Authority is given to them as scorpions have authority, the scorpions of the earth. Now, they're locusts, but they have the authority of scorpions. Two different creatures. So, first of all, they're locust looking. Authority is given to them, like this, the authority of scorpions. And then verse 4 tells us this authority is limited. They have limited authority. And it was told to them in order that they should not harm the grass of the earth, nor any green thing, neither any tree. So they're given specific instructions, and that's what locusts do. They go after green vegetation. But they're told, not this time. Leave the grass alone, leave the vegetation alone, leave the trees alone. But they are limited except for the people only, the men only, who do not have the seal of God upon their foreheads. So they are only allowed to torment or to attack people who do not have the seal of God. Remember back in chapter 7, the 144,000 were sealed by God. And they are still upon the earth during this time. So these locust-like creatures are going to fly around, and they're going to see somebody with the name of God on their forehead, and they're going to skip them over because they're sealed. They're safe. Anybody that doesn't have the seal of God upon their forehead is going to be attacked. We're also going to see that the people probably have also the seal or the mark of the beast. And they also are going to be attacked because it's not the seal of God upon their foreheads. So the 144,000 we know are sealed and protected. So these locust-like creatures, they're given limited authority. Verse 5, and it was given to them. So again, something else is given to them. In order that they should not kill them, but in order that they should torment them 5 months. So the Lord says, or God says, you cannot kill anybody. No matter how many times they're stung by these creatures, you can't kill them. You can only torment them, which I would think the demons would be going, that's great, you know. We won't kill them off, we'll just keep tormenting, right up our alley, you know. But their torment is for 5 months, and that happens to be the normal life cycle of a locust, is 5 months. And usually it's between May and September that the locusts are active and moving. I don't know if you've ever done a study on locusts, especially in the Mideast regions, but there are times during the year that swarms of locusts come in and just wipe out all vegetation. And they're so thick that it's dark, as if there's no sun out. It's a very common thing. In fact, one time, I think it was in the 1950s, that just millions of locusts came in to a certain region in the Middle East, ate all the vegetation for thousands of miles. And you might be asked the question and say, well, how do they die? Do they just drop dead? Well, they fall into the ocean, as a matter of fact. When they die, they fall into the ocean. So they are told, these locust creatures are told not to kill them, but to torment them, and to torment them for 5 months. So this first woe lasts 5 months. And it says their torment is as the torment of a scorpion whenever it should strike a man. Verse 6 again, continuing with the locusts. And in those days, men or people will seek death, and they will not find it, and they will desire to die, and death flees from them. Oh, just like hell. When people are in hell forever, they're going to seek relief, even death if they have to, but they can't die. Not allowed to die. For 5 months, people are going to say these stings that go continuously for 5 months, night and day. No matter how many times they're stung, they will not and cannot die. Even if they seek to kill themselves, death will flee from them. They won't be able to do it. Verses 7 through 11. The 10 likenesses of these locust-like creatures. And the likenesses of the locusts was likened to a horse. So the body of these locusts, obviously they had the head of a locust, but the body was as a horse, having been prepared for battle, number one. number two. And upon their heads were as crowns like gold. So they had a crown-like image on their head, which weren't really crowns, because again, we have the word as or like on their heads, showing conquering and victory. Thirdly, they had their faces. Their faces were as man's faces, the faces of human beings. And again, you have the word as, the form of human faces. Fourthly, that had hair as the hair of women. I don't know if there's going to be like ponytails something. But they have long hair like women. Not the first time in the Bible. Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 27 tells us that the locusts there have bristles like hair. In these demonic attack, and this was against even Israel. Fifthly, they have their teeth are like the teeth of lions. And notice again, it's as the teeth of lions. It had the appearance of the teeth of lions. Sixthly, and their breast, they had breastplates as breastplates of iron. Well, they cannot be defeated, even though the what are said to be the main organs of the body, that's what the breastplate protects, is that they are protected from being killed. Seventhly, and the sound of their wings was as, again, here's your word as or like, as the sound of chariots of many horses running into battle. Well, that's a tremendous, deafening sound. Eighth in verse 10, and they have tails like scorpions. Obviously, locusts don't have tails like scorpions. Those scorpion tails that stick up in the air in the back, it is like scorpions, and they have these piercings at the end. And in their tails, they have authority to injure or harm human beings for 5 months, just as they were told to do. Verse 11, and they have over them a king. Now we know that these locusts are not regular locusts, not just because of their appearance, but they have a king over them. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse 27, Proverbs 30:27, it says, the locusts have no king, but they advance in bands. They somehow know to go in groups and rank and file, and they know how to bring about destruction, but they have no king over them. No one locust has control over the other locust. Here, these locust-like creatures, they have a king over them. And this king is called the Angel of the Abyss. Now we know that the star is an angel. And he is the king of the demons. And he is the Angel of the Abyss. We'll study this later as we get further into the destructions that happen, especially Revelation chapter 12. But just so you know, that the Bible does not teach that Satan is in charge of hell, and when you go there, you check in with him, and then he sits there with a pitchfork and torments you the rest of the time that you're there. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. They will be tormented there just like with everyone else. In fact, the Bible says that hell was created for Satan and his angels. Then why are people going? Because people have given their allegiance to him, and they're going to wind up where their Lord is, whom they've served their entire life. They will be there with Satan and with the demons, and they will be tormented night and day. So this angel of the abyss, he has a name. His name in Hebraisti, or Evrit, is Abaddon. Hebrew, that means destroyer. And in Greek, Helleniki, he has the name Apolluon. In Greek, it means destroyer. He is the destroyer. He's the angel of the pit. And he is king over these demonic forces. Verse 12 says, the one woe passed. Behold, two woes are still yet coming after these things. Next week, we'll begin with the sixth angel that sounds. This will be the second woe of the three woes. And as you can see, things are starting to get very interesting. 5 months of torment by locust-looking creatures with the authority and stings of scorpions, with a body as a horse and a face that looks like a man, and it looks like they have crowns on their head, out to rule over man. And for 5 months, they sting and torment human beings that are on the earth that do not have the seal of God upon their foreheads. Now, for me, I guess I'm just probably putting myself in a hypothetical situation, but give me one sting and I'm ready. You know, where do I sign up? Where do I repent? Where do I, you know? But I think that you're going to find that even after all of this is over and the second coming of Jesus Christ, there's still going to be non-believers on the earth when he comes at his second coming. We will come with him and we will rule on the earth for him over the non-believers that are still left upon the earth. And they will live under the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in peace, because Satan will be locked up, guess where? In the pit for 1,000 years. So Satan's not even around. No sin, no harm, just the peace of Christ ruling the earth for 1,000 years. And then the Lord says, okay, gang, time to leave. It's from the Greek word gangeo. Okay, gang, it's time to leave. We leave with him, and he lets Satan loose, it says, for a short time for these people on the earth to say, okay, make a decision. You've actually lived under the rule of Christ for 1,000 years. This is what it's like. And you've been under judgment for the last 3.5 years, full on. Satan's going to be let loose, and the Bible says they go back serving Satan again. That's why Luke chapter 16, when it presents the rich man and Lazarus, and the rich man winds up in hell, and he calls over to Abraham and says, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over, have him dip his finger in some water, have him come over and touch my tongue, because I'm tormented in this flame. I got a better idea. Throw me a rope. Or have Lazarus bring a ladder. But he didn't want out of hell, because there's only one other place to go. Not just heaven, but in the presence of Christ. He wanted to be in hell. He just wanted to be comforted, to make it bearable. So down through the years, when people are put in positions and the decision and response of their heart to the light, to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we think, well, maybe you know, after Uncle Fred died, he'll change his mind. First of all, there's no chance. It says, the Bible says, that we are to die once and then the judgment. You don't get another chance. But second of all, the Bible tells us that even if they did have a chance, they wouldn't change their mind just because they say, well, hell's torment and heaven's kind of peaceful. Yeah, I'll take heaven. No, they see it as in the presence of Jesus Christ, which is something their heart does not want to be in the presence of Christ. There's only one other place to be. That's where they want to be. But they just want some comfort. We'll get into the theology and philosophy of that, as to what hell is like and how are people going to suffer. It isn't the Lord's going to put them in this room and turn the heat up. You know, the rich man was in hell and in torment because He was so used to partying and drinking and taking, and Luke 16 is very emphatic about emphasizing that this man lived his whole life, a wealthy man, to make himself comfortable. But when he got to hell, he didn't have all the comforts, and that's what he wanted. He couldn't have them. That's why it's important to get the word out, even to young people, and as well as adults. Yes, say no to drugs, but they should know why. Not only for their health and well-being here on the earth, but in the next life, those who are hooked on drugs and have rejected Christ, those people will be addicts for the rest of eternity. And they will need, they're going to be in withdrawals, and they're going to need drugs. Can't have any. Or eternity. That's a pretty awful thing. Even if someone gave them drugs, they don't have a physical body to put it in. You know, that's even torment. Say, here, you can have all the drugs you want. Why? What am I going to do with them? It's important to share with others. You know, you're proud of yourself that you're going to reject Christ here, and yeah, I'll be in hell, and I'll be with a lot of other people, and, you know, they should know what hell's like and what it's for. It's not that God is punishing them. He's giving them over to the very thing that they worshiped and served. They can't have it. Close with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for showing us and explaining to us of the judgments that are yet to come. And as we study through 1 Peter in the first hour, we're here that we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And yet we know as we look around us, even at some of the more beautiful parts of the country, yet this world, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, is going to burn. All of it. It must all burn so that a new heaven, a new earth can arrive. We pray, Lord, that you would help us with our value system, our priorities, to not give much attention and time and effort to that which is perishing, but rather to that which is eternal with Christ in heaven. We pray that your Spirit would work in our hearts even more in our sanctification to separate us more from this earthly life and seek Christ more to be proven and purified for our place in heaven with Christ. Pray all this in Jesus' name.